Bro Con Show with Anna DeBlancis right here on 720 WGN.
And Richard Roper is
and
here.
And Richard Roper is just joining us. I was just getting to that.
I know.
A very important thing that I need to tell you about here. Mm-hmm. Hold on. Richard is... Now, what's interesting is that Richard has a number of movies we're going to talk about today that are open. Some of them are opening tomorrow, and then officially Friday.
Yes, right?
Is that how that goes? But they now... A lot of them open on Thursdays just to kind of screw you up.
Absolutely. Almost all of them do now. If you want to get to like a 7 p.m. almost every Thursday at 7 p.m., you'll see the new movies lined up. Like aircraft on the runway, ready for takeoff. So it's kind of a fun way to see them early.
Yeah. I think as long as they end by midnight Eastern, then they are considered to be in the Friday thing. And they also want the extra weekend. They want the extra dollars to count for the opening weekend.
Thursday's the new Friday.
That's true.
Right. Because it was never the Friday before. It was Thursday.
Yes. And Wednesday Adams is the new Tuesday Weld.
Mm-hmm. I do like the fact that these young kids think they invented everything.
I know.
No, we don't.
Hey, let's all go out on Thursday again.
But it's much bigger now than it was.
Make Thursday great again.
Yeah, because you were in high school before.
Try grammar school.
Yeah, or grammar school. Thursday's been pretty big.
It has been.
Yeah.
Just feels a little different now.
My whole life. The life of the party.
A lot of those startups kind of a slow start on Friday morning. You know, welcome to whatchamacallit.com. We'll be in at 11. Help yourself to an espresso.
It's so true.
And enjoy the exposed brick of our lobby.
Yes. All right.
Yes, sir.
Let's start with what they had.
Yeah, I want to talk to you guys about What They Had. I love this film. I'm just going to preface by saying right off the bat, I just absolutely love this film. Elizabeth Chomko is the writer-director of this movie. She was an actress for years who turned to writing, and she based this in part on her experiences growing up in Chicago when her grandmother had Alzheimer's. In the movie, the great Blythe Danner, some people know her as Gwyneth Paltrow's mother, but she's a beautiful, actress in her own right. Yeah. She plays the family matriarch who has Alzheimer's, and the legendary Robert Forster, who has been around for 60 years as an actor. People remember him from a million TV shows, and then Jackie Brown, he was nominated for an Oscar. Robert Forster plays her husband. He's an old-school military vet, classic Chicago guy, Catholic, church-going, and he's not about to let his wife go into a home. That's his girl since they were teenagers. He's going to take care of her. And their grown children are played by the great Michael Shannon of Chicago and Hilary Swank. And of course, the grown children are now getting involved in what's going to be best for the mother. And this movie just perfectly gets the dynamic of families, not just Chicago families, but there's a very Chicago feel to it. And I think we have a clip here where they're debating what's going to happen with mom.
You want to go talk to a priest?
I'm not a Catholic anymore.
Well, there's your problem right there.
How do you know? How do you always know what my problem is? Do I do that to you? Did I march in here and say, she's going in a home? If you don't like it, go talk to a priest? I listened to you, Dad. I asked you what you wanted, and I fought like hell to get it for you because you matter to me. What you want matters to me. Why don't I matter to you? Mom was a feminist, for Christ's sake. Why didn't anyone ever ask me what I wanted?
Honey, we did ask you what you wanted. You said you couldn't wait to be a mother.
Wow.
Oh. Heavy stuff.
Good Chicago accent.
Great
cast.
I talked to Robert Forster, who was in town a couple weeks ago, talking about the movie. And I think he's originally from, I want to say, New Hampshire, but he says a lot of people think he's from Chicago because they're the same kind of sort of clip tone. Mm-hmm. And he says when people say he's from Chicago, he just owns it and says, yep. Love Chicago. And it's just beautifully done. And almost all of it shot right here in Chicago, in Wicker Park, and, you know, kind of locales that don't get in movies as much. And it's also very funny. It's not all just really heavy stuff. And, you know, Michael Shannon plays a guy that owns a bar called Nick's, and he's named Nicky, you know, who better than to play that role. So I just love this film. 4 stars for what they had. And I really think there's a chance for nominations for the actors. Yeah. I mean, Robert Forster, you know, I think he's 75, something like that now. He's great. And Hilary Swank has 2 Oscars, and this is as good as she's ever been in this role, in this movie, too. So check it out, What They Had, and support a great local artist, the writer, the director, and some of the cast members as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. I saw, of course, the commercial for this, and I thought, am I ready to do like an Alzheimer's movie?
To really dig in that deep and heavy?
This time of year, it's already dark outside.
I suspect it's about so much more though, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And it gets that dynamic, you know, like grown siblings, because Hilary Swank's character has moved to California years ago. But the minute she's back in town, she and her brother have that same banter that they've had probably since they were 9 and 11 years old. You know how that is with grown siblings? Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot of great moments. The Robert Forster character, he had a Camry for years, and now he's got this muscle car, and his daughter says, like, what happened to the Camry? And he goes, I'm 75. That's what happened to the Camry, okay? Get in the GTO. We're going. Yeah.
And Michael Shannon is amazing.
So good. So good.
I mean, right? It's a guy that... And what's the most amazing thing about Michael Shannon is that Michael Shannon is a creative director, and I think he owns part of the Red Orchid Theater on Wells Street.
Yeah.
So here's a guy, Oscar nominated, right?
Yeah.
He was in that The Shape of Water thing last year, where he was one of the best bad guys on film in this century,
right?
Would be my argument. And then you're walking up and down Wells Street, and you're going to pop in and see him in a little black box theater.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yep.
It's an amazing thing.
Remember there was the famous photo last year? He was in one of the little dive bars. He was nominated for a Golden Globe. He was watching the Golden Globes in this little, like a TV that had an antenna, like in Chicago.
I was in Chicago.
And people were like, wait a minute. And he's like, I knew I wasn't going to win. So that's so great. You know?
That's what kind of guy he is.
Love that guy. Yeah. All right. Let's
Old Town Ale House. I was trying to remember which one
it was. Is that where he was?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's an amazing
classic place. Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy.
Yes.
In a serious role.
Yes.
Can You Ever Forgive Me? Although they're marketing this movie as kind of a dark comedy.
It's both. And again, you know, Plainfield Zone, Melissa McCarthy in the performance of her career. And this is an amazing story. You got to look this up, guys, if you get a chance. It's based on the true story. There was this writer in the early 90s in New York City who had been in kind of a pretty good career going writing biographies, but then she fell on hard times. So she started faking letters from famous dead people and selling them, like letters from Dorothy Parker and Noel Coward and all these 20th century literary figures. And because she was such a good writer herself and knew their style, she could write believable letters. And then she would like put them in the oven to kind of age them and use different types of typewriters. And she made a lot of money until the FBI started figuring out maybe these aren't legitimate. So Melissa McCarthy plays this real life author who's, you know, kind of a sad sack. She's in her 50s. She lives with her 12-year-old cat. She's driven everybody away from her. But there's also a lot of dark humor in here. And it's just, it's a wonderful film. And again, yes, it's funny. It's dark. I think I'm giving this one 4 stars as well, guys.
Wow!
And this is one, I will say this, if Melissa McCarthy is not nominated for Best Actress, that means there's 5 performances out there that must be unbelievable, because probably the best performance I've seen so far this year.
Well,
right,
you haven't been a terribly big fan of a lot of her recent work.
You know, she falls back on the dopey comedy. She's done some really funny stuff and has proved in some other films that she can definitely do drama. Mm-hmm. Here, it's not one of those things where the comedic actor all of a sudden, you know, goes all dark and everything, because she's really funny. She's a horrible person. She's an absolutely dreadful human being who hates all other people, which is why I love her, because I can identify with that. We all can on some days, right? She drives everybody away from her. Set, you know, she has no filter, which is sort of fantastic, you know. And there's something great about a character like that in the movies, especially when you realize that she really, really exists. You know, she actually, you know, she forged the letters. There was some dealings with the law. She got a cease and desist from Nora Ephron, because at one point she was impersonating Nora Ephron on the phone all the time, so she'd get like reservations and things.
Another famous,
hello, darling, it's Nora Ephron,
and it's based on a true story.
True story. Amazing.
I love it.
Wow. All right.
So those two great smaller films coming out this weekend, guys.
Mm-hmm. I'm in the mood for a smaller film.
All right. And then Hunter Killer. We're gonna do this on the other side.
Yes.
I want to check in with Judy first, because that was her nickname in high school. Hunter Killer. It's a submarine movie.
Yes.
And it's got Common in it.
Yes. He's in every movie.
Yes, he's in everything right now. You know that Common...
He shows up everywhere, you're
right.
Do
you know that Common is going to be in Chicago on Monday? Did you see this?
No.
He and Serena Williams are doing a Creative Minds lecture at the Lyric
together.
Opera House.
Together.
Yes. Yeah.
Good. Ooh, what if Kanye crashes it?
Crazy is that?
That's amazing.
Oh,
that would be cool.
That'd be great.
Can
if Kanye imagine? Got up there and started
I'm going to just say something, Serena.
No, please don't. Well, he just showed up at the mayoral thing.
Writing checks and hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a thing called The Art of Storytelling, Serena Williams and Common.
Whoa.
That is a...
It's quite the combo. Amazing.
And
it's
at
amazing
the Lyric Opera.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of a thing. That Kanye, of course, will start singing if he gets the Lyric Opera. We're not promising that Kanye's going to be there. I'm
no,
just
we
saying.
Can't do that.
That is what
it is. If you have the subscription, do you get to go see that? Like, I
could
see some
so.
Patrons going, darling, is this Lo Boheme? I don't fucking know.
What we signed up for?
Opening act of this.
I'm going to guess the Lyric Opera subscription doesn't come with this.
That would be
I could be wrong about that.
Right.
Let's look into
the
it.
The kids will be like, Ma, do you got the lyric tickets for us?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you want to be in
October 29th.
It's wonderful.
All right. Well, if you want, let me get the plug in here. If you want to see this, it's creativemindstalks.com. Everything's plural here.
Mm-hmm.
creativemindstalks.com. Or you just go on Ticketmaster and look for Common and Creative Minds or Serena Williams, and
it
pops
is a
up.
Cool,
it's unbelievable. The venue is great, and these and it's like, but you know, Common in every single commercial you see on television, Common is lecturing you
exactly.
with one of those little headphones on, right? Like he's
like he's doing.
We
a permanent-
can't just walk. We're flying. And I'm like, I have no idea what they're selling,
but I'm into
but
it.
But he gets me. I'm like, yes,
I'm
we
loving
can.
It.
You're right, Common.
It's like a permanent
yes,
TED Talk, right?
Right, like, right. But this is more. This
he is.
But then there's Serena. I would love to see Serena. We're
love
previously
her.
Indisposed on Monday, but
dang.
This is some. I'm sorry, I'm going to miss this because this would be something.
I like when she goes jogging and decides she wants that necklace and goes back and gets it.
That's really
exciting.
Cool. All right. So anyway, so there you go. If you want to see them, if you want to see Common in a movie, stay tuned because
yes.
Richard Roper will tell you whether it's worth seeing right after we check in with Judy with the WGN News headlines.
Such a stupid idea! What one Chicago area school district says about arming teachers.
Tomorrow morning, tune into the Steve Cochran Show. He'll have free Blackhawks tickets for you at 7:50, so be listening in.
That's good.
It's great.
I like that.
We'll be at the Hawks ourselves tomorrow.
All right. We've got Common in a submarine movie. You
yes,
don't
we
see that every day.
Well, you know, he's in a lot of movies. I just looked it up. 11 roles for Common this year. Besting Nicolas Cage, Ethan Hawke, anybody. 11 roles he has this year. Congratulations to Common and Common's agents. But before we talk about Common, I got to go back for a second. We were just talking about the extraordinary press conference last week that normally would have been the craziest story of the year, but now was barely even remembered. Gerard Butler plays a submarine commander in this movie called Hunter Killer. So he's at the Pentagon last week to thank them because they cooperated and lent, you know, military expertise
right.
and let him go to
right.
Pearl Harbor, et cetera. And he also announced that he was not going to go to Saudi Arabia to promote the film because of the situation with the murdered journalist. He thought they'd be insensitive. Mm-hmm. Next thing you know, they pushed Gerard Butler in front of the Pentagon podium and told him to go ahead and face the press. But this was not the entertainment press. This was the CNN Washington Post press corps. And here's Gerard Butler, who clearly had no idea this was going to happen.
What would you want to see in Saudi Arabia at this point to be able to return and see the American film industry support with the Saudi film and entertainment industry? What would you want to see happen now?
That is a very difficult question to start with. And to be honest, I don't know if I have an answer to the second part. I haven't really thought it out that much. All I know is that when I woke up in the morning before we were supposed to go to Saudi Arabia, we were informed of what was happening. And it just didn't feel like a good time to be getting involved. It felt incredibly insensitive to go to Saudi Arabia.
Barbara Starr from CNN asked that question.
Yes! And
she's
the minute
like
she identified herself, you could tell the look on his face was like, what am I doing here? 34 minutes he was up there, and he kept looking off to the wings. Like, and he even said at one point, he goes, I think I'm done, right? I don't think I'm supposed to take questions.
They were asking and serious question
yes!
after question?
And at one point, somebody in the press corps actually said, I've got one question for the admiral and one for the actor. And he was just like, are you a journalist? I'm like, okay, we'll take one for the journalist. It was the most bizarre thing.
Number three.
Uh-oh.
Oh, that's exactly what that was. The number three box office performer. Okay, so let's quickly get to the actual
yes.
movie, Hunter Killer. Now, this is a submarine movie, and I'm going to do my best to explain what happens in this movie. So Gerard
Butler. You have 1 minute to do it.
Gerard Butler is...
Good luck.
That's impossible. Right. All I would say is, okay, I'm going to try. Here we go. Gerard Butler plays the commander of a United States submarine that gets involved with a Russian submarine. They both thought they fired on one another, but in the meantime, Navy SEALs are trying to extract the Russian president from Russia because the Russian defense minister has staged a coup. So now the Russian president and the American submarine guys team up to take on the Russians so they can stop the Russians from starting a fake news World War III. Common plays the Admiral. Gary Oldman the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And Gerard Butler is Joe Glass, rogue submarine commander.
Good actors, but wow, what a complicated thing.
Oh, my God. Wow. Is it good?
No.
I don't
but
think
so. But it's fantastically terrible. I will tell you this. I give it 2 stars, but I tell you, if you go into it with the right frame of mind, knowing you're going to have every submarine cliche ever, that you're ever, you know, where the CEO, where the XO starts saying, you're going to be court-martialed for this. Well, I'm going to keep you alive long enough to testify against me, sir, if you listen to my commands. Oh. And the Russian captain says to the American captain, you know, we're not so different after all. Amazing. Hunter killer, Tinker Tailor, Soldier Spy.
Okay.
Check it out if you're in the mood for inadvertent laughter.
For a hot mess.
Four stars for what they had, and can you forgive me, though? So
yes.
There you go. All right.
Admiral Common, though. Pretty awesome.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. We got Judy standing by with the stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.